Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. We'd like to thank you for joining us today. We think we have another important show for you. We have a Florida high school coach with us this week. But before we get started, I would like to sit and thank J.C. Weber of We Coach Tennis for keeping the UR10 Network on the air. We'd like to thank our founder, Jason Haynes, who started the network, I guess about 5 years ago when Chuck Creasy was doing his American tennis instruction. But if you're not tuned in to We Coach Tennis, I think you'll find tennis coaches sharing a lot of information. I've written about it a year or so ago. I think coaching is more than tennis racket and being on the tennis court. The social network is a big part of the information that is available, not just for coaches, but for the players too. Those of you, speaking of Chuck Creasy, those of you that missed his American tennis show yesterday, missed an outstanding show. I would suggest anybody that's working with kids, stay tuned to that show. He had Dr. Jim Paul on there. He was talking about ADD and the athletes. I would suggest you go to Fast Brain, that's BRAIIN, and see the information that they're sharing. There's a lot of information. There's always a lot of information that Coach Creasy gives out, and he'll be sharing a lot of information at October at our workshop with us. But this is a show that you really, if you're dealing with kids, then you really need to listen to it at least once. And Parent and Aces, Lisa Stone show on Tuesday, especially nice show. All her shows are good, but she had Saul Schwartz on Save College Tennis All-In Tournament. They talked about that, and you know how important I believe college tennis is. And it's something that, many of us strive for getting many of our high school students into college. And this is why we always have a college coach on once a month on the show, because high school tennis really goes across all lines. And like I've said many times before, your U.S. TA volunteers, your USPTA tennis pros, your PTR pros like myself, all those people tomorrow are in high school today, so we have to be conscious of supporting them. I would like to remind you before I get to our guests that the FACA clinic has been moved from December to October. Will be October 6th, 7th, and 8th. We'll be at the back at the Orlando Mall again, like we were a couple of years ago, and we'll be at the Fort Gatlin Tennis Center. And quite frankly, John Posner and I and Bobby were out there about 6-7 weeks ago, and very, very impressed with the job that they have done there, keeping up the court. Albert and John Richards, the co-directors of tennis, have done a great job, and we look forward to seeing them in October. Besides the workshop, I remind you all that on the Saturday following, we'll return for lunch, those of you that want to, and we'll be having our awards banquet. Flagler Insurance will be passing out the Community Service Award again. If you have anybody that's really supporting your high school group, I suggest you contact them. If you go to our resource page on our website, www.fhstca.org, you will see where you can nominate your coach for Coach of the Year Award. Wilson, again, this year will be presenting the FHSTCA Wilson Coach of the Year, Tennis Coach of the Year for 2016, and they'll be going to and each of the FHSAA 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A divisions, and we thank them for doing that. Again, we're hoping that our last year recipients will be there to present the awards with Wilson to the 216 awards. I've talked many times about if you have a feel you have a problem and you're unhappy with your high school coach, by all means, contact them other than at practice or at a game. Set up an appointment after the conversation. If you're still unhappy, by all means, see the athletic director. But if, like most of the people in this state, you think your coach is doing a good job or a great job, by all means, please nominate them for Coach of the Year. I think the last year recipients were outstanding, and I'm sure the 2016 recipients will be. I had that conversation. There had been an article in Florida Tennis Magazine, and we thank them immensely for their support of high school tennis. And it was mentioned about John Posner and myself going into the FHSTCA Hall of Fame, and there was no mention of the Coach of the Year. The reason there is no mention of the Coach of the Year is because the deadline for entering your coaches is September 1st, so it couldn't be in that issue. And quite frankly, the August and September issue, it won't be in that one, too, because the issue will be out before the nominations are finished. But you can always stay tuned to this station. We will give you the information after September 1st. You can bet your life will be putting it on our social media because those people should be recognized. The same goes true for the free tennis uniforms that we thank Team Connection, which has been a sponsor of ours, and they've been given each year, a team earns that. A 2016 team will earn free uniforms for a 2017 teams, and we'll let you know who they are at the awards banquet, awards luncheon, too. And I'm sure that athletic director would be pretty happy not to have to go out and buy uniforms. Last year, Sebring High won that, and they showed them at the December workshop. Everybody was tickled pink. We probably won't have them at the October workshop just because of the deadline being so close and who it will be, but we will announce who it is that will be receiving that award. So we thank all of them. We thank Flagler Insurance for sponsoring the luncheon. Like I said, we will return to the court Saturday. Flagler Insurance will be sponsoring the awards luncheon at the hotel. As you know, the FACA clinic is free to any FACA member, and on our Saturday, we open up the clinic free to all high school players and their parents, too, because we're not trying to hide anything. The information that we're giving out is important to everybody. But if you want to take the FHS-TCA tennis team coaching certification, that cost is $35. It is a one-time cost. You could sit there and take home the exam that'll be given, and all the people at the workshop that are doing presentations will all have questions for the exam. And it's a great way to sit there and make sure that you're offering the best advice to your students. Excuse me. Like I was saying, Flagler Insurance will be our sponsor at the lunch. We will, the lunch is only $25. The first 100 people buying the tickets for the awards lunch will also get one of a hardcover book by David Beckwith in his mystery series, and that's a $29 value. And you'll also be getting a $10 raffle ticket. Yes, we will be having a raffle again this year, thanks to Wilson, and I'm sure as many other people come aboard, I'll let you know as they are, but Wilson will be providing rackets and tennis bags and cases of tennis balls, so we'll have a lot of stuff to raffle off. And hopefully the awards luncheon will help sit there and finance the organization, because our organization does not have a revenue source. We don't have a membership. If you're an FACA member, you are automatically a member of the FHS-TCA. I will talk after about the agenda. The agenda is just about made up. I'll let you know later, but I do see our guest on the line, and I would like to get him on, and we can get into a discussion with him. And if you have any questions for him, you can call in at 714-583-6853, and we'll try to take those questions. Like I said, our guest today is Howard Knoll. He's a high school tennis coach here in Florida, in Orange County, and he's a coach in a Title I school. So I think we should have some interesting things to talk about. And, Coach, are you there now? Coach, are you there?
Yes.
You are. How are you, Coach?
I'm doing great.
Good. Would you please introduce yourself to the audience before I get into some questions?
Sure. I've coached for 12 years and primarily in all Title I schools. I'm the head coach at Oak Ridge High School for the boys team. And in defining a Title I school, like ours, you're talking about kids who have 100% free lunch is the best way to describe it. There's a lot of challenges at our school, and I think that's where we're going to go with the discussion.
Yes, I would like to go into that, because I do think that's an important subject, and those that listen to the show regularly, I have had my own, like everybody else, I have a bias, like everybody else in the world, and I often ask the question, is tennis an after-school activity or an after-school sport? And I believe they're both important in our education system. I do believe after-school sports, in my own bias, spending most of my life in a sporting field, that it's even more important because I don't think competition is a bad word, and I do think we're going to be competing the rest of our lives, and getting our students ready for that is important. But there are challenges. Every school that has challenges, and I'm sure in Title I school there's even more challenges. Would you like to explain some of the challenges that you face each year?
Yes. Let me say this first. My experience at Title I schools is that tennis so often has been an after-school activity rather than a sport, primarily because of financial support, lack of equipment, and in general, lack of participation, because so many of our kids struggle from day to day just to meet daily challenges. So in taking on a school that's Title I, a coach has to have a kind of different perspective. You have to look at it as that you're developing a family unit if you want it to be a sport. Because so many of our kids come to our teams looking to find a place that they can call home. So in developing the teams at the Title I school, I truly believe it's a totally different way of developing them. And I'll give you an example. Schools who have more money or have a population that have more wealth have a tendency to be able to afford private lessons. So the way I understand, so often a coach's responsibility sometimes can come down to as much as just making sure that the team roster is set up because they have their private instructors. At a Title I school, I can't remember having a player who could afford private lessons. So as a coach, my duty, of course, is to make sure that I'm carrying them through the motions. But I am restricted in having even higher level instruction because of the lack of support from home. So we go out and we raise our own money to take field trips. One thing that we do in particular to be successful is that we go to Hilton Head, South Carolina. We do 1 week training. So what my kids get to be successful basically is after school practice, when I'm allowed to practice, which is very limited also because we, as most coaches know in Florida, we are not allowed to have actual practice but about 3 weeks before the season starts. So I have those 3 weeks, and then we have like 1 week that we take off and get a higher level instruction, and that's about it as compared to so many teams that have constant instruction throughout the year. That's probably the biggest obstacle we have to overcome. And we have had many kids win championships in their individual seeds in spite of all of that. We've had that the past couple of years. Another weakness is that we don't have a foundation that we build on. I think maybe I've had one player that had played tennis before they hit high school. So we're developing players from ninth grade to the senior level at a rate of perhaps where somebody else started in when they were five and were able to have tennis instruction for most of their life. So we're trying to catch up. We're in a constant catch-up mode. And we've been fortunate to be able to do that kind of thing. So that's just some of the things that a coach faces at a Title I school. I know when we go up with matches against other schools that are Title I, it appears that at their school it's more of an activity because so often the players don't even know the rules. They come and all they know is hit the ball over the net. Now, as a coach, I'm the type of coach that I can't live with not giving my kids the tools they need in order to be successful at sport. I've coached probably since I was 18 years old, and I've coached probably 20 sports and 20 different sports. And tennis has become my love over the past few years. So what I do as a coach is I have personally gone out and bought good tennis rackets for them. Now, not all at once, but gradually, if my players don't have brackets, I have taken care of that myself. So that helps because we all know as tennis coaches that there's a huge difference between, say, a $200 Babolat racket and a $25 Walmart racket. There's a huge difference. You can't even compete. So a lot of times what I'm doing is I'm funding myself because it's so hard these days within the school system, which is another issue. It's so hard to go out and raise funds because counties have become so strict on how you can raise funds. And it's just not an easy thing to do. Going out and getting donors, I've tried that. You know, when people look at a Title I school, a lot of times they don't see tennis. They don't see the opportunity for success there. So they're a lot more apt to, say, donate to the football team, who sometimes is very good, versus donating to what they would consider a minor sport at a school they don't see being successful. That's just the tip of the iceberg.
And you brought up some excellent points, Coach, and I think what you're talking about are some of the things that we try to do in October with our three-day FACA workshop is to sit there and bring different levels of training because there are different levels of playing throughout the school. But the big thing is, lack of support because some of it is because of finances and what you're doing is marvelous. And I think some of the other coaches, I remember about 17 years ago, we had played in a similar type school, and you could tell they didn't know the rules or didn't have the equipment, and they sure didn't have the Wilson rackets. They had the Walmart, and I raised some of the money. We've been blessed to be able to raise money, and we provided equipment to that school, and a lot of people said, you know, what are you doing? You're going to be competing with them. And my point was, yes, we're going to compete with them, but the truth of the matter is right now there is no competition. So let's making competition and making them better is going to make us better too. And I will tell you, in the last few years, when we played at school now and they sat there and taken it upon themselves, and that's all – some people need is just direction, and this is what we'll be trying to do in October. They built a program in there. Is it as powerful as some of the other schools? No, because there's still financial needs and everything. But they're competition, and they've beat us as many times as we beat them. One of the other things that I'm guessing, and it's at all level, but I would think more in the at Title I school is the lack of parent involvement. And of course, I'm guessing that it's a little bit more of a problem there. I'm also do believe, I know I'm a dreamer. I've been accused of being a dreamer. I plead guilty to it. I do believe that the future, we should be having our matches just like we have this radio station so that people can go and watch their children when they want, because most of the parents are working, and that's why we don't have no attendance. I've heard athletic directors complain about they don't like football games broadcast because if they have a home game, their attendance is cut in half. Well, we don't have an attendance problem in tennis. So, and the reason we don't is because those parents that are working many times at that time, so they can't see their children playing. Is the lack of parental involvement, do you think it's an issue in the Title I school, or am I just dreaming?
No, absolutely, it's an issue. I would like to think that the parents want to be there. But first of all, you're hitting one of the main issues is, of course, work, and our matches are not after those times. So we have some parents that can't be there, but I feel like even when they have opportunities to be there, they don't show. Now, again, I think that goes back to one of those problems that we struggle with, is how can you expect someone to come and get a tennis match when they're just trying to survive through the night? And we do have that issue. I mean, we have kids who sometimes don't have electricity. So while that's not everybody, there is still some primary issues that prevent them from coming. But there's also, in the tennis world, I think for Title I, there's a lack of interest. I think we need to continue to build interest into the Title I school so that we continue to produce athletes that can enter the tennis world and maybe get scholarships for college. So often I believe the sports at a Title I school that are promoted are what we consider major sports, basketball, football, even soccer is becoming that, and baseball. And so a lot of the students don't really look to tennis as an opportunity, and I would say golf also is in that category, when we know as coaches that if these athletes would move into this area, many of them would get college scholarships and have opportunities. That being said, what it takes to get an athlete to that level is support, and what we need is more parent support. But what I have learned to do as a coach at Title I has been to develop a family unit within the tennis team. And I've learned the years that I really didn't feel like they felt like they were family were the years that we weren't really successful. Normally what happens is I usually have one or two parents that will be there. And with those parents, they almost become team moms and team dads. So the kids start looking forward to having that opportunity of exchange with those few parents that do come and support. So as we move along, we plan meals together. We may go down to the tennis center together, which does cost, but, it's not that expensive. So as their coach, I take care of that. We may even search out a movie together. So as we're moving along, in order to develop this team to be able to be successful, I've learned to make sure that we develop the family unit.
I think that's so important, and I congratulate you, Coach, on that. I think, that family unit is so important. I know about 20 years ago, I started, you talked about practice starting in January, and we have 3 months. That is true. There are things you could do before. And, for instance, at Sebastian River High School, you knew that the first Wednesday in September and the first Wednesday in October and the first Wednesday in November that there was a player-parent meeting with the coaches, and that's during that time we're trying to build that family. It's hard to sit there and tell them that we are family and that love each other if you don't know each other. So first you have to get to know them. And then, of course, in December, You can't touch the racket, but you are allowed to do conditioning and everything. And then those of you, the schools that are blessed to have a coach like you that will sit there and now go through your own pocket to help support that, you know, that's something I don't I won't ask all our coaches or say you have to do that, no, but I do ask them to listen, and I do say that, you know, one of the great rewards, in my opinion, is giving. And, you know, when you could sit there and give, what you get back is so important. I do think you mentioned football and baseball and basketball. One of my pet peeves is that, you know, all these sports in college, they all go through high school. And tennis, unfortunately, is one of those sports that the USTA competes against us instead of working with us. Although I will say in Texas, they have the blast with the USTA Texas Association doing a great job. But I'm speaking in just in general terms. You know, it competes with us. Now, there's great, the USTA no-cut program is a great program. There's things that they do, but if I think we have to sit there and ask ourselves, is tennis an after-school activity or is tennis an after-school sport? And if it is a sport, then we do need a little assistance from them. But we also need responsibilities from our school boards and athletic directors, too, which the school coaches are being paid is really, you know, terrible.
Yeah, yes, it is. It's very minimal. And, you know, I don't recommend, honestly, other coaches necessarily paying out of their pocket, because that really isn't the point. I think the point is that you have to have funding, and so where you choose to find that source is going to be up to you. But your athletes are not going to progress unless you're able to fund their equipment and get them to tennis instructors. There's not many ways to do that other than doing fundraising all the time, because it is an expensive sport. And maybe on my part, maybe I have gotten to the point after all these years that I just don't have the time to do major fundraisers. And what I've learned is, you know, when lessons are $70 an hour, how could we afford to go out and get these kids those kind of lessons anyway? I'd be raising money, you know, every day of the week. So affordable lessons might be another way. And there are people out there. We have had volunteers that have come out and help at times, periodically, maybe for a month, to work with them for free. But you can't expect them to do that forever. You know, that so many of them, that's their profession. That's how they make their bread on their table. So, you know, we want to be able to pay them.
Now, Coach, does your school buy your uniforms and your tennis balls and your transportation, or do you have to fund that yourself?
Transportation comes from the school. Uniforms, we now have, for the first time last year, we had a sponsor. I didn't, as a coach, have to pay for that out of our account. And then, what was it you asked for? Transportation and uniforms and what else? Equipment? No, equipment's on us.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we'll be bringing up in October, as you know, we have a great partnership with Florida Tennis Magazine, and one of the things that their editor and founder, Jim March, is doing, I think it's fantastic. I'll be bringing it up at the board meeting in Orlando, is they've agreed to go out and sell, if schools, because there's many schools like you are that have a funding problem. And they've agreed that they will sit there, if the tennis players go out and sell a two-year subscription to the magazine, they have all that information from the magazine that's going to be useful to them. But they will be able to keep 75% of the revenue for their school team. So, in other words, when you went out, if you sold 100 subscriptions, you would keep 75% of that money you would send into me or send into the FHSTCA, the balance and all the names and addresses and everything. We would keep 10% because, like I said earlier, we don't have the funds. If you're an FACA member, you're also an FHSTCA member. And then we would send that information into Florida Tennis Magazine, and that 15% that they keep, they will do the mailing of the magazine to all those subscribers that come in there. So we've recognized the problem that many high schools have with tennis. And like you said, and I agree, you can't expect coaches to, come out of it. They're working for stipends that are so small now. And, many of us were blessed that I came from a tennis profession, and it treated me very, very well, and I was able to do that. But that's not the norm in many cases. And I think that would be a good source. What do you think?
Yes, sir. I think that those are some things that I was not aware of, and I think that can help. I do want to add, we said a little bit about USTA. They do, if you're a no-cut coach, they will send you, and now I got this a couple of years ago, a case of tennis balls. So there is that opportunity sitting out there also. I don't want to leave it so much with this conference, so much with the funding, though. The real truth is I wouldn't coach in any place else but a Title I school because of the rewards that come from helping athletes learn a new sport, and the reward that you see from them when they are successful at the sport. This year we had for the first time I had a kid make All-Stars. His self-esteem is 10 times what it was when he entered our school his freshman year. To him, that meant more than anything that could have happened to him. So for me, it's really not about the money. That's why I do go out and put a lot of my own money in it. It's about the student athlete, and it's about watching kids grow that really never had an opportunity. And tennis has this wonderful, wonderful opportunity for these kids for that to happen in our sport, an unbelievable thing for them because they never thought they could be a part of the tennis world. Because a lot of the kids that come along do look at tennis as a sport, honestly, for the wealthy and not for the poor. We had two kids last year we had two kids last year in their singles win their seeds in the district tournament, and then this year we had a couple of kids win their doubles, the number two doubles. For them, they don't need to go to state. They don't need to go to region. To them, that small success is something that they'll carry the rest of their lives. At times, I get messages from them and say, "We're still champions, right?" That meant that they're going to carry that. They're going to carry that forever. And what will that mean to the future of their own success? So, when I talk about the challenges of Title I, it's overwhelmingly balanced by the blessings you get by taking the opportunity to teach them. There is no doubt about that.
I appreciate you saying that because that's so important. And, of course, we met at the All-Star tournament when one of your players went there. And I've been asked, yes. That was the fifth year we've done that. And people say, oh, God, all the work, how do you do that? Well, when you get these emails from kids from college and meeting them, and just, well, even there when, by the way, Bobby went upstairs and there was a player up there working in the pro shop who's in college now, and he's was at the very first All-Star, and she kept running down, come up, come up, come up here. I'm going, what's the matter, what's the matter? Guess who I met? I mean, you just, those kind of rewards, there's just no price to put on them.
Let me give you a couple more examples to encourage coaches. If you have an opportunity to, say, be at a school that's that really hasn't brought tennis on as a sport, versus, say, a school that's traditional power, which is wonderful, too, because, you know, you get to go to state. Now that I've been there once, so I know how that feels also. But back in 2004, I think, I was coaching in a Title I school in eastern Tennessee. And this school had never won a region championship in the history of the school, and had been there forever, 60 years. The boys' tennis team won the first region championship for that community of any sort in the history of the school in 2004, I think it was. For that community, it was like winning the world championship, because it embodied what they had been seeking in sport for so long. And we were able to do that as a tennis team instead of, say, the football team or the basketball team or the baseball team. If that same community, I also took two young ladies to state for the first time. And that in itself was a tremendous accomplishment based on everything we were overcoming, some of these issues we're discussing. I will say this, Oak Ridge High School, 2 years ago, we were the runner-up in the district. So we went to the region for the first time in the 60-year history of Oak Ridge High School. That mark that team made will forever stay with them. They still talk about that. So for me as a coach, that was a tremendous achievement through the family unit and my team. And so I would encourage any coaches who might look at a school who's underfunded to look at it more from a positive on how much they can change lives of students who may never get the opportunity in any other sport, in anything in their lives, because I've seen it done, and I've seen the process, and it really can happen.
And it does happen, and it's just special. And there's things that – there are things that you can do without funding. For instance, last year, the District 15 NJTL, we received our Community Service Award. I talked about Flagler Insurance presenting a Community Service Award. And being part of the community is important. And their 10 and under program – and Sebastian High School, probably 80% of those kids went through that program. That's a community where they couldn't afford. We don't have a big tennis programs around where they go. But when you see these kids coming in, and the high school kids each year go back twice a year, Bobby runs a 6-week program on Saturday for 10 and under, one in the spring and one in the fall. And the high school kids come in. Having them come in and working with the kids 10 and under, and as a coach, when you sit there and you watch them and you listen to them and you hear them telling you the young 10 and under kids things that you said at practice, and you wondered, are they getting this? So rewarding when you sit there and see these high school kids giving instructions out. And I really believe it makes them better students and better tennis players when they're out volunteering it with others. So I really encourage you. One of the good things the USTA has is a 10 and under program. If there is one in your community, you have a high school team, give those kids to get out there and volunteer. If they can afford to go to play in a tennis tournament, all well and good. But if they're not, you know, get them out doing volunteering, and you'll be, as a coach, it's quite frankly very rewarding when you're listening to them helping the other people. And that's what we all have to do, is help. And this is what our the FACA tries to do, and the agenda that we put together. And in a couple of minutes, I will go over that agenda with you. But I do want Coach to sit there and tell me what you think. You know, are you number one? Are you planning to be in the workshop in October? Nothing like pressure on
you. You know, did you send me information on that already? Yeah, it's a little pressure. I would love to be in the workshop. I'm just not aware of when and where. But if you'll send me that information, I will do everything I can to be in that workshop.
Okay. It'll be October 6th, 7th, and 8th, and it'll be right at the, at the Orlando Mall, and then we'll be at Fort Gatlin Tennis Courts for the Encore presentations. But what we have going on there, well, let me give you a little bit of the agenda and who's going to be there. On Thursday, we will start with classroom presentation at 3 o'clock, and Thad Hanks of the USTA Florida High School Tennis Program will be there. 4 to 4:50 will be Dr. John Murray, sports psychologist, author of the book Smart Tennis, will be there. Bobby Klenek, the president of Texas Tennis Coaches Association, he's coming all the way out from Texas to push the Wilson Blast program. And the Blast program is a program they use in the summertime for their kids to play. And it's something like our team tennis used to be. We will be introducing that in for the fall, because unlike Texas, we don't have a spring and a fall. In their spring, they play tennis like we do, and then in the wintertime, they have a co-ed season. And then in the summer, they have the kids playing this blast. And so hopefully we'll get that going for our October months and everything. I know in our area, I've already talked to some of the clubs, and they've been very receptive to keeping the price low and letting the high school kids do it. And this is the great thing about coaches. I've been out to Texas speaking in their organization. Bobby's coming out here for us, but this is what the associations are about. We'll break for dinner. There's many quick food outlets right downstairs in the mall. And then we'll come back for our FHSTCA board meeting at 7 o'clock that Thursday. And that's important because where are we going from here? I think we've made a lot of accomplishments with our All-Star tournament and a lot of other stuff, but you can't stand still. You have to be going. And Jane Hollinger, our president, will be residing over that there. Friday morning, we will be heading out to the Gatlin Tennis Center. Scott Enge will be coming in from Kansas, a U.S. PTA pro. He'll be doing doubles drill. Then after that, we had Ed Duffy, another U.S. Well, he's a PTR and a U.S. PTA elite tennis pro from down in our area, down in the West Palm area, coming up. And he'll be doing drills, why, who, when, where, and why. Scott Andrews will be doing the doubles. And then at 11 o'clock, keynote coach is Coach Chuck Reese, Hall of Fame coach from Clemson University, now at the Citadel, you know, senior director of the competition, the Junior Tennis Championship. He'll be doing drills from A to Z. Scott Inge comes back in at 1:30, and he'll do a serve and volley drills. And then from 2:30 to 3:20, we ask the coaches there. I remind the coaches that what they have to offer, don't be shy. And we'll have drill exchanges. So every coach there, we hope, brings a drill that they could share with the other coaches. Because sometimes a drill, you know, everybody says, well, everybody might know that drill. Well, sometimes you do know that drill, but you forgot about it. You say, gee, I used to use that drill. Why ain't I doing that no more? And then we have a speaker to be announced after. And then that evening, we will return to the Florida Mall from 5 to 6:15, and we'll be Coach Chuck Reese again. There's been an indoor session, and those new coaches, if you haven't read Coaching Tennis, that is one of the books. If you're going to, as you go through your FHSTCA tennis team coaching certification, once you pay that $35, there is no more charges after. We just look for the classes you go to, the workshops you go to, volunteering. For instance, Coach had one that talked about one of his players on the All-Star team. That player has earned points for the 217 uniforms. And the coaches use points there, but we give credit for all those things because those are what determines are you a senior or eventually become a master coach. The agreement we have with Human Kinetics is that those classes you take and everything, they will give us that information. So his speak back at the hotel, I think it's very important. It'll be stimulating learning and addressing that last 20%, which is needed. A lot of times these kids just need opportunity. Saturday we go back out to the Gatlin Tennis Center. Mike Kypris, those of you that don't know him, he's won 17 FHSAA state championships, but he's also the NHSAA tennis chairman, and he'll be doing some drills which help them produce some of those 17 state championship. Coach Creasy returns to the tennis courts and will do the seven-step development program. And then at 11 o'clock, Scott Williams, the tennis coach at King's Academy, another USPTA pro and author, and a big part in putting together the tennis team coaching program with me. He'll talk about handling the different pathways in practice and in scheduling because as Coach was talking about previously, that's just part of what you're doing. And you have a responsibility to everybody on the team. Yes, you might have one player there that has a chance to go to college, or if you're fortunate, two or three. But you have some players on there that are there because they just their friends are there, and that's why they're there. So that becomes very, very important. And then, of course, at 1:30, we will go to a restaurant there, right there at the mall, Banco di Pepo, which is an Italian restaurant, and we will have our awards luncheon, and we hope everybody is there. Please nominate, if you're happy with your tennis coach, please nominate them for Coach of the Year. You just heard, listen to Howard for about 45 minutes. Do you think this coach is deserving of a nomination for Coach of the Year? I do. Coach, sometimes, you know, I know you're concerned about your players more than you are yourself, but we want to see the more nominations we see, the better. I want to see the nomination for Coach of the Year such that the committee comes back to the president and Jane says to me, John, what a decision we have this year. We've got so many outstanding nominations. So please, please, please nominate the coach for Coach of the Year. And we look forward to seeing them there. Coach, is there any last word you'd like to have before I do some business?
Just thank you for having me on. And, you know, I teaching at the school I do, I also teach student government, which is another angle that I make sure my tennis players are involved in the activities at the school, which you've mentioned. But, you know, I have a passion for helping these kids have a life. And at the schools that I've taught at, so often they have no opportunity. And it's not just about tennis. Tennis is the vessel. Their future careers and their future opportunities is what we want to use tennis for in order to get them where they're going. And I thank you.
Well, and I thank you. I thank you for all you do, and hopefully we'll see you in October. You'll join us for the Flagler Insurance Awards luncheon there. We thank Flagler Insurance for supporting us, supporting our All-Star tournament. They have many different companies, Dean Street Insurance, you probably saw it, had the Dean Street bags there. Team connections, the uniforms that the All-Star players and coaches wore. We thank Team Connection for being there. We thank Team Connection for, again, helping a 2016 team earn uniforms for a 2017 team. And if you have somebody in your community that is really supporting tennis, go to Flagler Insurance and tell them about it, because good tennis programs are more than a good coach and tennis players and athletic director. They're the community. That's what makes the these teams successful year after year. So we need your support. What we try to do in these workshops is make the learning curve a lot less than it was for us. I was asked often, you know, how did you stay coaching at the same school for 20 years? And I said, because I had an athletic director that was smart enough to give me the leeway and allow me to make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. I made mistakes. Excuse me. Everybody makes mistakes. That's who we are today, who we were, the mistakes we made. But if we could make that learning curve just a little easier for you to be a better coach, for your players to sit there and, like Coach just said, not just to be a good tennis player, but to, this is just the beginning of their journey. If we could, it's going to be a tough journey for many of them, but if we could make that road just a little easier for them to travel on, that's going to be something special for them. That's why on Saturday, we opened up the tennis court, the workshop, to the high school players and the parents, because we don't want to take them out of school. School's important, but we're not hiding anything. We're sharing. This is what we are about. We're sharing. So I thank you for listening. I will remind you there won't be no show next week because I will be in South Carolina with my seeing my great-grandson, our great-grandson. My wife just looked at me funny. Our great-grandson, and for the first time, And she reminded me if I tried to do a show and the baby cried, I'd be up. So there'll be no show next week. But we'll see you the following week, and we should have we will have Mike Parts on, which should be another interesting show because he is a gentleman that has two outstanding tennis players at high school age that won't be playing high school tennis, and he'll tell you why. So thanks for listening. Have a blessed week, and we look forward to talking with you again next week. Bye now.